Let us pray. Jesus, our only Saviour, you renounce the way of ease for the way of truth and life. Draw us to seek God's kingdom, whatever the cost, for the sake of the true treasure in heaven. Amen. When I graduated from theological college, some very dear friends who know how to keep me in my place gave me a book called The 77 Habits of Highly Ineffective Christians. It's a spoof, obviously, of Stephen Covey's The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. The inscription on this book reads, "Do you read the Bible? Do you pray even when you're not in crisis? Do you find one of the fruits of the Spirit at work in your life? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you are really not an ineffective Christian." And some of the habits that are listed, number 2, make tolerance your God. Number 29, measure success by numbers. Number 58, live a safe life. Number 22, make music the big issue. Number 67, be a poor receiver. Number 5, shun pain. I would think that a highly ineffective Christian would also want to shun the idea of carrying the cross. Jesus said, "Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Carrying your cross, a familiar and peculiar phrase of the Christian community. It's not much of a selling point, really, is it? Yet it is a compelling statement that this is what it means to be a Christian, carrying your cross and following Jesus. This is something about God's purpose in the world, as taken by Jesus, who now invites us to do the same. Picking up and carrying the cross is sharing that path to Calvary that Jesus took, a path that Jesus intentionally took, different to what his disciples had hoped for. To their dismay, Jesus was not going to become a new emperor. He was not going to crush the pagans. Instead, he was arrested, jailed, tortured, and executed as a criminal. He became instead the non-violent Messiah, the suffering servant of whom the prophet Isaiah foretold. He carried the cross, a symbol of the violence of the world, and paradoxically, the symbol of the non-violence of God. The cross of violence tells what lengths God will go to redeem the world. Now, there is the classic idea of Jesus bearing our punishment instead of us, appeasing God's wrath and righteous indignation. And this idea often seems at odds with this God of love and forgiveness that we also talk about. Well, I came across this perspective that I rather liked at how God's righteousness allowed God to forgive sin. The writer said, "The condition of forgiving those who offend you is to accept the harm and suffering they inflict upon you without retaliation." On the cross, Jesus revealed the depth of God's love by demonstrating a willingness to accept every evil people could possibly inflict upon him, physical, social, and spiritual. And yet, he returned to offer them peace and his Holy Spirit. And seeing this, we can now believe in God's willingness to forgive sin. Well, in the gospel reading today, Jesus asks us how far we are willing to go. Will we follow him and, like him, be prepared to carry the cross, confronting the violence of the world with the non-violence of God? Now, if this is what we are going to do, it is going to be costly. And Jesus shocks us by using such an illustration as hating one's family, community, and even life itself? Well, that's not what we want to hear. What about the commandment of honouring one's parents? What of Jesus' own teaching to love one another? What of receiving abundant life? I mean, that's what we're all here for. To get his hearers' attention, Jesus often used hyperbole in his teaching. And hyperbole is an exaggerated use of illustration, like in another place where he advocates plucking out your eye if it causes you to sin. And the purpose is not just to shock or to joke. The way Jesus preached was to put out a call that brought with it immediacy and urgency to make a decision. There is a priority in life that may even be at odds with your family's security or your comfortable position or your right for revenge. At the end of this reading, Jesus says, "None of you can become my disciples if you do not give up all your possessions." So giving up, this even is in terms of forgiveness. Can you forgive on behalf of your family, your community, or your country? Can you let go that grudge or resentment? Can you give away your possessions or money that you might have or to spend on yourself or your family or your own community or your country? Our spirituality is not just a slogan or a creed to recite. Our spirituality has to enter our world if it is going to live. And preparing to make peace by personal cost of forgiving and caring and giving, no matter what is done to you, it is a choice that we make or not. So, do we buy in? Which is a good question for Commitment Sunday. Jesus uses two illustrations. The builder of the tower is one who is free to choose whether to build or not. And the king, whose kingdom is being invaded, has to choose to do something. For the first, Jesus is saying, "Sit down and reckon if you can afford to follow me." And for the second, he is saying, "Sit down and reckon whether you can afford to refuse my demands." A large crowd was following him at this stage. Yet Jesus did not take this as a sign of success. We would. How amazing it is that we qualify success as in numbers. Should it not be the quality of our lives, the outward stance of them to the world that should matter? The saying about salt losing its savour is akin to an initial commitment, however sincere at the time, that nevertheless fades with time and sometimes very little time. Martin Luther said, "A religion that gives nothing, costs nothing and suffers nothing is worth nothing." Carrying the cross for God is not going to fit in with your lifestyle. The cross is more than a decorative symbol. A pastor and author, Clarence Jordan, was once given the red carpet tour of another minister's church, and with pride the minister pointed to the rich imported wood of the pews and the luxurious decoration of the building. As they stepped outside, darkness was falling, and a spotlight shone down on a huge cross atop a tall steeple. "That cross alone cost us $10,000, the minister said with a satisfied smile. And Jordan replied, "You got cheated. There were times when Christians could get them for free." Let us pray. Praise and glory to you, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. For you do not call the righteous, but us sinners to repentance. You draw us away from the easy road that would lead to our destruction. You call us instead to seek God's kingdom, to strive for what is right, and to lay up our treasure in heaven. Amen.